I think, Tom, there's space at the table if you... Yeah, we don't need to have people sitting on the sides. I'm not very Robert Rules of Order kind of thing. Jim, as soon as you sit down, we'll start.
Got it, partner.
Okay, welcome everybody. We're called to order. I think unfortunately we had two last-minute cancellations, so we're not going to have a quorum, but we certainly can discuss all the things that we need to discuss. Everybody who is going to be here is here except Camille. She's going to be a little bit late. So that's my opening announcements, and everybody pretty much knows everybody at this point. So I think the next order of business is we actually have a public speaker here today who's a faculty member. The way we do this, we're not real strict about the five-minute rule, but we try to have these meetings get over by 2 o'clock, and we have a half-hour tour of the campus at the end, so there's only so much that we can allow each person to speak, but why don't you introduce yourself and explain your topic.
Okay. First of all, there's a student on his way. I'm from LA City College, so I hope Jonathan gets here in the next 3 minutes. But my name is Jan McAveedy, and I'm a professor at LA City College. I've been there since 1981. I have a master's degree in kinesiology from UCLA, and I was the chair of the department for about 6 years. I come to you today because not that you're going to have a resolution about this, but I just want to raise your awareness as taxpayers. When we started these bond projects in 2001, the Health PE and Fitness building was supposed to be the first building on our campus completed. That was under the reign of President Mary Spangler, and Art Tyler, right. And we went through the process of this is a picture of what our building was to look like. And we designed it and went through all that. We got the DSA stamp, took about 3 or 4 years, many, 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 many meetings, and the project was canceled. The then president, Steve Maradian, decided to move our building to the north end of campus under the objection of the faculty. It went all the way to Sherrod's governance, all the way through the process, and he unilaterally made that decision. So there was a waste there of $3 or $4 million. In the process, the campus promised to give us back our women's PE building and then build us another building to complement the space that we had lost. In the meantime, many of our facilities were being demolished. So we went ahead and designed another building. Once we got through with that design, we were told we were over budget, and we downsized it. And we downsized it too much. Then when the bid actually came in, it came in $6 million below the budget. Kinesiology, it's now called kinesiology, did not get that money back, but in your website it does say that the money saved from that building was to be used for the South Gym, amongst other buildings on campus. But we finally moved into our building last year. It's not built very well. For instance, I was telling some of them that yesterday a basketball player ran into the wall, and there's now a hole in the wall. So it's not built very well. That should never happen in a gym. The first day of classes in the shower rooms, the water was running into the hallway. They didn't even build the showers correctly. So in the meantime, we're supposed to modernize our women's gym, and this is what it looks like. So we've been at the table again. And we got the DSA stamp. This was completed in 2011. It's to modernize the South Gym. It is on your project list for Measure J. So we've fallen down. We've always been promised next bond, next bond, next bond, next bond. We'll finally complete your project of what you had in here. So this is a completion of this. And it was supposed to go out for construction bid. It got the DSA stamp July of 2013. And we've been waiting for it to go out for bid. Well, we were told a year and a half ago to vacate the building for construction. So the building right now, as it stands, we're using it for swing space. It's filthy. There's no heat in it. We've had a couple instructors get really sick. Students are dropping classes. But now the present administration has a plan to not do our project. Okay, it's gone through DSA, it's ready to go out for bid, construction bid, and instead use the money for their building, Cesar Chavez, which is now at $34 million. They had meetings all of a sudden, first day of classes, February 9th. I'm on the bond steering committee, I'm a voting member. I wasn't even emailed about the meeting, I'm Project Shepherd. I don't think they wanted me there. But anyway, AECOM wanted a decision right then and there for 20 minutes. And one of the committee members said, I feel like I'm at a car lot getting pressured to make this decision. Well, luckily, our academic senate president deferred the decision. We allowed DaVinci, who was supposed to be bundled in construction bid with ours, that was the promise to us from Harris, didn't happen. We voted to let DaVinci go forward, but now they want the money from South Gym to go to administration building. So then it went to another bond meeting, an emergency meeting, because they wanted to get this to the board on March 11th meeting. But they said they were going to come talk to you folks. And then I looked at your agenda, and you didn't meet in February. So, okay. So we were getting a bill, sold a bill of goods. So anyway,
Who said they were going to come talk to us?
Stanley from AECOM. His name is Stanley.
Did he say he was going to come talk to the board, or was he going to come talk to the district citizens oversight committee?
Both. They wanted to come to you folks, and then they're going to present it as a recommendation from our college president to the board. Okay, that's what he was saying to us. So at the next bond steering meeting, the emergency meeting, because they want to get this to the board all of a sudden, because they're saying they're going to complete this all the projects by 2018. Well, we know that's probably not going to happen. So if you've been in as long as I have. So anyway, we go to bond steering, and the vote was in favor of, oh, by the way, there was academic senate meeting, and all the departments supported going through with the South Gym project. Go with what you have. You have DSA approval for DaVinci and South Gym. Go with that. Let Cesar Chavez have further funding to complete their project. Or maybe they only have the $20 million instead of the $34 million, something like that. By the way, Cesar Chavez is our administration building. Only the top floor is classroom, and it's business, and a lot of those classrooms are online classes. So the two next floors are administration, sheriff's, IT, and admissions. But admissions is moving to our new admissions building, which is going to be completed soon. So at that meeting, we got the vote. And what was interesting is I tried to make the motion, and our vice president, John Alamine, told me, because I had a vested interest, I couldn't make the motion to have the two projects go forward and get further funding for Cesar Chavez. So I said, okay. The academic senate president made the motion, and it passed. Then there was another meeting, college council, which is the next step, and a lot of the members on college council were not at the two previous meetings. And we faculty were told we couldn't go, we couldn't debate, we couldn't discuss. And so the vice president made the presentation, and guess what? He makes the motion himself, telling me before I couldn't make the motion, to have Cesar Chavez go forward. So, and all the vice presidents, of course, voted in favor of it. So they got their vote at the next meeting. And then just yesterday there was an AFT union meeting, and the faculty were very, very upset across the board, because they told the college president, especially those of us who've been in the bond project since the inception in 2001, this money is for classroom. We've told PE Kinesiology that we were going to fund their project and finish their project, and now you're going to delay them again. And really, it will cancel us out. The vice president even talked about demolishing our building, which was, you know, it's concrete. It's built so much better than what the new building is. I mean, we would never get a hole in the wall with a basketball player in the concrete building. It's a beautiful maple floor. The dance studios upstairs are to die for. UCLA students come over and say, wow, you know, you have great dance studios. They just need to be updated. Air conditioning. Wouldn't it be great to dance and have air conditioning? Have clean water. That's what that building needs. It needs an upgrade, and that's what Measure J funds were supposed to do. We were very prudent in our costs. It's only an $11, $12 million project, and we were within budget. We never went over budget. So I just wanted to raise your awareness because the faculty is very, very upset, and not just our department. And kinesiology, if you look at the LA Times last Sunday, CSU, 4 impacted demand areas, kinesiology. Because we're the ones that supply health services. We're the pre-med, sports medicine, all those types of things. And so these need our we need the facilities to teach, to do what we do. So
thank you.
That's all. I just want to raise your awareness.
I'm not so sure how we as a board handle this, because these decisions are not made by us.
It's a subject that's not agendized, so I don't think we can comment on it at this meeting anyway.
Okay.
If it was to be, it would have to be agendized on another meeting for us even to get into the discussion.
I would like to throw it back to the local, or the college itself, in terms of their planning. They're supposed to come to us and tell us what they want. And also to the Board of Trustees, because that's really where these kinds of decisions should be made, unless somebody else on here wants to put a discussion of this on the agenda for our next meeting.
Well, if you could put together a outline of what has occurred and what the issues are here, that would be something we would want to look at, but I don't know. Other than that, I don't even know what we would agendize at this point.
I don't need to. As I understand it, we have budgets for each campus, and they are fully committed at this point. And so somebody at that campus would have to make a decision that would be accepted by the board.
While this body cannot take action today, and it's really... I believe outside the scope of the body. Nevertheless, I think it's an important topic that certainly the college president to be informed that there was this presentation, and she and the chancellor can determine how they're going to address this particular issue. Since, you know, my understanding of, with regards to the bond program and AECOM is. They manage the program, but the decisions are made at the college. So we really need to get the college president informed about, you know, I know that she obviously knows these questions, but she has to communicate with the chancellor, with Mr. O'Reilly, in order for, you know, to come full circle, because I would hate to circumvent whatever processes have taken place at the colleges. At this point in time, that's not to say that there can't be a discussion here. It's just the manner that the decisions about the go no go on in terms of projects. It's really a college decision, and AECOM manages the construction, the budgets, and the like. So, if I've misstated anything, please let me know.
And I'm certain. I think it's fair. I'm certain that AECOM, direction would be pushing for an answer or a response to which direction we would go. You have to realize that every one of these campuses, especially yours, many of the projects are averaging over 4 years behind schedule. And a lot of that has been caught up in decision making at the campus level. We're now trying to finish it up. You're right, 2018 is a very, very optimistic end. But
they're only in the design phase.
I think you have to realize that maybe marketing the message, the appropriate message, is that we're to be substantially complete on the entire program. with outliers, meaning they're going to be under construction by 2022. I don't think anybody believes or should be saying that we're going to wrap this entire program up with a bow by 2018. The majority of campuses we will, not yours. Yours has too much.
But I think what's important for us as a group is something we've been discussing for a very long period of time. And I've been pushing, everybody's been pushing, finish these master plans so we know what we can build and what we can't build. And unfortunately, there are going to be decisions that we don't make that are going to make winners and losers. And what we didn't want to have is a bunch of buildings that were halfway winners and not finished. So we build and monitor what the campuses tell us they really want. So I think the best thing to do is throw it back to the local college administration and the board.
And at this point, we were never involved as facilities group in the decision making of which direction they want to go. We will execute for them unless we find that there is a showstopper such as we don't have the budget to build that building. This is one of those campuses where there's been a lot of money burned and the work has not been completed. Cost overruns.
Is there an analysis, and this is way off the beaten path, but is there an analysis that one could look at a smaller administration building and rehabbing existing building? I don't know. It's up to the guys.
They want an upgrade. They want to keep their administration. They just want an upgrade of it.
Okay.
It's not a new building.
Okay. Modernization.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
And the reason why I came to you is because I thought your job was to look over the taxpayers' money, and we already wasted $3 or $4 million canceling the first project. Now this is another $2 million wasted. Getting to this point, you know, when we design it with the architects, you know, it's another waste of $2 million. And when he actually proposed demolishing the building, I said, John, I said, you spent $2 million here, then you're going to spend $1 million demolishing our 12-inch thick wall concrete building. Then you're going to hire new architects to design the next one, and we're all going to have to sit at the table again for the fifth time. You know, realize that when the faculty come together and design all these things, we volunteer our time. We have spent vacation time, time outside of classes. You know, we have spent so much time over the years designing this stuff, and it's just so disheartening when it just never comes about, and then you got to do it.
I am disturbed about the amount of money that's spent on design for buildings that don't get built.
Yeah.
It's huge.
I'm disturbed on some of the designs that came out of it. Means that we now have to evaluate and right size because the faculty designed what they wanted and never had the money to do it. And we had poor management that did not tell them and was actually afraid to manage the client in the sense of saying, well, that's nice, you designed this massive building, but you don't have the money to build it. So there was money spent, and I think that's still the bad news story about this particular program, is waste spent earlier in the design phases.
Okay.
We can't afford it anymore.
Okay.
We have to go forward. And everyone, this issue may have gone away 10 years ago when there was everybody's flush. You don't have any money out there anymore. You got a couple bucks. You got to decide what you're going to do with it.
Right.
And from what I understand, that's what the vote was, that your college and shared governance and the different processes and groups made last week. And all I get told is this is what we're going to execute.
Well, we have money for our project. They want to take our money and put it into Cesar Chavez.
Okay.
Cesar Chavez, if you look at the budget sheets 10 years ago, it was only $8 million. And then in 2012, it was $21 million. Now all of a sudden it's $34 million. I don't know what they're putting in that building. They're still designing it.
Okay. We're not going to be able to solve this.
We don't know.
Even if we could solve it, we don't have the authority to make these decisions. Just for my own edification, I'd like to know that people maybe take one last loop around this to make sure that,
you know what we'll do?
We can solve as many.
We'll provide a process, and we'll try. We may have to call upon yourself to get some of the history of it, because it sounds like it's been going on for 10 plus years of what exactly has occurred.
And
that's where a lot of.
And just so you know, we've received this information previously in reports from our consultants monitoring the building program itself and from the leadership. And have recommended changes that we don't want to see this happen.
Right.
But it still happens at the campus level. I mean, we are not at the campus level. We're not making the decisions what's going to be built. We're trying to maintain a program where we can say that it's been built the best way possible and maintain the least amount of funds expended for finished,
right.
Well,
I think the kinesiology faculty was very prudent in that Art Tyler had a vision for a 50-meter pool on our campus. And I'm the aquatics person. I'm like, you don't need a 50-meter pool. Do you know how expensive it is to heat that thing? So I told him, no. You know, college swimming is a 25-yard short course pool. So, and then he wanted an auditorium. Well, you know, that's huge. So we downsized our pool. Okay. Because it's more cost efficient. So we've made good decisions.
I understand. But we've got to move along. So I'm going to...
Can I introduce our student?
Okay.
Jonathan, I just want to introduce him. He's a student that came all the way from L.A. to talk to. So.
Okay. We do need to move forward. I'm going to leave it with the Deputy Chancellor and our Head of Construction to figure out if there's part of this loop that hasn't been addressed. And I thank you for coming all the way here.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, we can't approve the minutes because we don't have a quorum. Does anybody have any comments on the minutes that they want to?
They all went in by email. No one else did. And I used his suggestion. I would put that in the draft.
Okay. Jim, you're on.
Real quick, the big numbers. 5.06 billion contracted, that leaves us with 1.19, so essentially 1.2 billion left to be contracted. Of that 5.06 billion contracted, we've expended 4.5 expended. We completed 218 of 381 planned projects. And of the sub-projects, 593 of the 807 projects. Currently in construction, 40 projects with 44 sub-projects. And in design, which is design / planning, we're at 38 projects and 50 of those are sub-projects. So right now, and I think you've heard me talk about it, we're tracking, which is good, is we built a foundation here for the program, went back and rebuilt the foundation, if you will, and we're now in the execution phase. Not only are we executing, but we're executing hot and heavy. We've also done it with industry to make sure that we're still getting a good bidders list, a good amount of participants with respect to looking at these, so we're still getting good pricing. What we didn't want to do was overwhelm everyone, so they're just throwing numbers at it to compete with us. A couple of the highlights there is the Firestone demolition. If you recall, we own the Firestone building down in Southgate. It's several million square feet of space. We are going to demolish that. That is going to be done under a separate contract so that we can proceed with the design while the demolition is occurring. It's an effort to expedite the entire program and to get it moving quickly. That will be awarded or taken to the board on May 2015. We've had some good interest from big general contractors who want to come in and handle the demo. The demo's a pretty big job. It's over $20 million. And that doesn't necessarily count all the nastiness we don't know about anymore. So it's a big job.
How do you do the nastiness? Is it just
We can do as much
TNL?
As we can. Yeah, we'll go in and do destructive testing. We'll do surveys, one and twos. Go in and try to get an idea and quantify what's actually in there. And we'll provide all of our records, you know, that we've done in any exploration. And then the bidders will also have an opportunity to go through there and ask some questions. For instance, if they see mastic, you know, and certain ductwork that we didn't catch, or, you know, maybe there's floor tiles, or maybe there's lead paint all over it. They'll also ask. So the initial one, I think we're looking at between $20 and $30 million, but I think last could be hazmat, cleaning that place up. And then there's just going to be a little bit of underground that we're going to have to go through, too.
When was it built?
1920-something.
Never mind.
It has everything.
Yeah, Tom, you remember the day that it was built?
It was in the 20s.
It was in the 20s, right? Yeah. Because it played about World War II and some other things. While we're doing that, we're also going to be going out for the Firestone Architect of Record. That is the person who's actually going to put their stamp on the drawings and the one that we're going to put on the street to bid out. We're going through that competition right now. That's going to be wound up in about July. So we're thinking some July 15, we'll have the Architect of Record on board, and quickly followed by the leaseback contractor for the entire construction. We're bringing them on early as a professional services contract. One, to see if the relationship works. We'll pay them for the professional services to assist with mostly with MEP is where we find a lot of the advantages with the designer. So we'll have contractors, MEP contractors, sitting side by side with the designers, MEP contractors. And they can almost perform a constructability as they're going through doing the design. And then ultimately, when we get to the point where it's stamped out, we'll agree upon a cost. They obviously will have a distinct value, which is fine. And then we'll do it for it. The other nice building that's out there currently is the Trade Tech Culinary Arts Building. This is another, as we heard our guests talk about, when tough decisions of the different campuses had to be made. This is the building they gave up their $90 million construction building for, and several others. They decided that this was in the best interest of the organization and the campus as a whole. It's going to be not only the Culinary Arts, but it'll be the gathering space. They'll have a multi-purpose room in there. I think they can fit about 400 people in some other things. We've had a lot of interest involved in the Architect of Record competition. We received 26 SOQs. And we're down to the finalists now, and I believe five finalists to provide a
why does Trade Tech have a 17?
What's an SOQ?
Statement of qualifications. So we're doing two steps on most of these. What we don't want to do, Richard, is waste everybody's time on putting together an RFP. So we don't have 26 firms out there putting together pricing on this. So we'll typically go through and we grade we'll grade out the 26 responses to try to get it down to 5. It might be 4, it might be 7. Typically what occurs is when you look at the grading, there'll be a breaking point. We'll base it on 1,000 points. If you were absolutely perfect and walk on water, you would receive 1,000 points. I haven't seen that occur yet. But you'll see, let's say 5 of them are gonna be in the 950, 960 range, and then maybe the 6th guy is gonna be down to 910. So there'll be a kind of a break in the scoring. And if it's 6 guys still in the 960, he gets to participate as well. We want the competition, but we don't want to waste anybody's time. We want the pool to be manageable.
Why is Trade Tech $17.5 million over budget as a campus?
You're back in this one right now?
Yeah, that probably still shows the CTB, which is being deferred.
The CTB is the construction building I was referring to?
So everything else, the overruns are highly manageable, but that one's a pretty big number.
My guess is that we have not agreed upon a buyout for that particular contract, but it's still on hold, Dan. So we put them on timeout. We put Bernard's on timeout on that one, and we have not terminated in finality that contract. We're keeping part of it alive because there's a parking structure attached to it that they're about 50% complete on it. We may, if we can negotiate a decent sum, what we will do is then have them finish up that part. There's also a substation that they have to put in there. They have Morrill Meadows under contract on that one. I wouldn't mind having those guys do that one. It's a $3 million sub. So there's a couple points of it that we wouldn't mind keeping them in to finish up, and then de-scope the actual building out of their.
So that should get us back and done.
You've been reading this. Am I right?
Yeah, the CTV is still showing.
Okay, so that's what it is.
Okay,
that's what you're seeing right now. And then we're going to the lease back, which is on the street already. We have a couple finalists, and this is going to be awarded in May. This will be for the actual builder. Once again, we'll bring them in to work on a professional services basis with the architect record make sure that we're getting that synergy going forward and moving on. Mission College Central Plant, Monty's love, Wally's love.
Yes.
We're doing the design build on this job. Proposals are due in a couple weeks, and then we'll bring it to the board in April, and that's going to pretty much go right away. And then what other central plant do we have left?
The Valley and City.
Valley and City. We'll typically, we'll probably use the procurement model that we've used for this central plant. It's going to come along pretty well, and roll that one over and use it for those other two.
Okay.
Use the design build on those. This is all happening right now, by the way, if you're getting an idea. If our contracts department's a little bit busy, and John, who you met, my construction lawyers, is a little busy right now.
Okay. So,
yeah. The next job we have out is the West Keppel or College or Campus or Improvement Program. CIP is typically Keppel Improvement Program. What are you calling it? The College Improvement
Whatever
Program?
Whatever you call it, yeah.
All right. So it was a lot of cats and dogs out there. It was about 12, 15 projects, all pretty smallish. What we did is we bundled them together, put them in one big fat package. Now it's actually something people are looking at. It'll be around $40 million. It should be cleaning up everything left. So when this contractor is done.
So it's all the campuses?
It's this campus, the West Campus. It should be the end of their projects. This one contract should basically tie up 95% of what's left to do out there.
Okay.
So once this contractor's done, they're gonna put a bow on the West, and they'll be out of money and have some shiny new buildings. And all the little cats and dogs will be done as well. I think, as you were probably aware, some of the more sophisticated contractors don't necessarily like to work with all these little $3, $4, $2, $5 million projects. They'd rather have a $40 million project and then divide it up the way, into the smaller projects.
Okay.
Although on a lot of these, we'll typically divide the contract into portions. So it's a little easier to pay on the progress payments every month. So you didn't touch this laboratory building, so you're not gonna pay for that on any of the progress payments, but you did this on the athletic field, so we'll be able to, so we can at least, it's a little easier to manage that way. In a perfect world, you'd have one architect designing everything. It's not perfect, but it does get the right people in to do this. Harbor, we're still working through the HTPA. The RFP is going to be posted this week. The HTPA, that acronym stands for the Harbor Prep Teacher Academy.
Teacher Prep.
The high school that's out there. There's a high school right now in the bungalow, one of the highest performing high schools that LAUSD currently has, actually one of the highest performing ones in the state. And it's really cool because they don't cherry pick the kids from around the district. They actually pick the kids that are around that area, and they put them in there, and they just run it really well. A lot of these guys are graduating 12th grade with associate's degrees.
Wow.
In some cases,
Who owns that building, LAUSD or us?
No, we do. We own that.
We own.
And we lease it to them. Yes.
The space is leased. The footprint.
Well, that's a ground lease. Yes.
And at the end of the lease, we'll own it.
Right. Okay.
They have to own it in the meantime because of their bond money.
Okay, so they put up the money to build the building.
They're paying for it.
Okay.
Okay.
Do we still have a charter school at Bandy Camp?
Yes.
We do.
It's also a high performance school. And like Jim said, it's different from the area. So it's, again, the students are just, students who might not have this kind of opportunity, for academic preparation, but it's also excels.
Cool. And that one's it's pretty unique, and it's been a bit tough putting together the front ends on this, on the specifications, as you can imagine. Since it's LAUSD's money, they want it built to their standards, which is fine. I mean, they're good standards. You're going to get a good product out of it. But our front ends on all the specifications are obviously different than what theirs are. So we've been melding those and blending them and then trying to meet some timelines, which we committed to. It's been going pretty well. It's a good partnership working with smart people over there. So it should be a really good product when we're done. Still have some concerns about budgets as they originally stated, but we'll get there eventually. And LAUSD is been willing to pony up a couple more $1 million if they need to. Then the Valley Center plant, we talked a little bit about that. We're going to use the same, we'll use the same method or the same contracting method that we use there. And then district-wide, we've got another OSIP coming up. Our former, our current OSIP, which is OSIP 2, is going to be expired. We're estimating the cost to be at $7 million. This includes the workers' comp and the general liability. And we'll be bringing that to the board in May. And that'll be enough to get us through the rest of the program on OSIPs. Those are our insurances.
And you really think that end of 18 will be done?
Oh, I think where we will be at the end of 18 is we will be, everything will be under contract. I think the 90%+ of the program will be complete, buttoned up, tidied up, and even probably closed out, both financially, legally, and hopefully DSA with agencies. But I know there's going to be some outliers. There's going to be some jobs up, probably on four campuses would be my guess that we're probably going to have hanging out there. And one of those is going to be Firestone, which doesn't necessarily affect anything. We'll be able to move people in as soon as that building's done. There'll be a couple projects. There'll be another project out of Valley, project out of Pierce. Pierce went back and remaster planned everything. So they fell, I don't want to say they fell a little bit behind, because they were pretty smart about their remaster planning. They saved some money on some things that weren't necessary. So they got a bit late start. There'll be some dangling participles out there as well. But for the majority, we're going to be cleaned up and tidy. And our staff will be way down. It'll be a skeleton crew just pushing through the rest of it to close up the program. First of all, as we're getting into our good news, bad news stories, we'll hit the good news first and then go into our challenge projects. We're doing our internal quality audits are complete. I think you've heard us talk about that as in the QAQC world, the QAQC realm, what we've done implemented here. That's where we're going out. So we're going to get a look at some of the new folks. We brought in a lot of new folks. Our team's changed dramatically out in the field. And we spent a lot of time training these folks up, went through an entire boot camp, everybody did, to get an idea of how to run through our policies, procedures, work within our systems, et cetera. So there really is no excuses for not performing well on these quality audits. We've completed them, we're compiling the information, and we'll see if there's any weaknesses there and if any decisions have to be made with respect to what we're doing, if additional training is required, if SOPs need to be altered, if we have the right personnel, particular job sites, etc. It tells us a lot about how the program's progressing. And that's something that we do inside. We don't utilize an outside firm to do it. I talked about hiring new staff. We hired 130 new staff on through the hire process since we started this.
This is the project management staff?
These are people out in the field actually manned the project.
Wow.
We 180 members, so we included some internal people as well in training, completed the boot camp. And it was part of the overall reform strategy where we got everybody together and made sure that everybody's playing by the new rules. Put the expectations out there to all of them, what was acceptable, what was not acceptable. And we're gonna be far more selective with the people that we keep, and we have higher expectations for the quality of the products that are coming out, and the quality of the services that are provided. It's already showing quite a bit of the difference. We had a lot of skeptics at different campuses. What they found is when we got rid of the old regimes, there was a lot of unfortunate secrets uncovered with respect to where the money was, how the projects were progressing, the timelines.
This isn't firm enough.
Your aim was bad.
No. I blame it on the tool, not on the gun. Yeah, everybody got all excited about my fly. So what we're seeing is the turnover. We've got everything staffed up, but there was a lot of hesitation in respect to the different campuses because they had developed relationships with these people. We had gone in, audited, monitored, went back and determined that we had some real weaknesses, and that we thought that for what we're paying, we could get much better talent.
Now, these people work for independent firms. So we just go to that firm and say, you need to replace that person.
If they're doing poorly?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
We would say, get them off tomorrow, get them off Friday.
Okay.
And there's no argument, they go away. And then we put it forth another competition to fill that position, or if, for instance, somebody was rolling off another project that we're happy with, sometimes we reserve that right. If we got an A player over here and they're coming to the end of their job, and we don't want to train up a new person, we will roll that person over into another job.
Okay.
Yeah. And we've done it the other. We tried to do it the other way at LHC one time, where we said we're going to compete every position when we already had in mind the person we wanted. And so the firms actually came around and said, you know what, you're just wasting our time with this stuff. We appreciate it. We know we said we wanted to compete everything and be a part of it. But if you already got somebody that you like, well, that's just what we've been there. So far, so good on this. It's going well. And those little discoveries that we're kind of dealing with each one of those as they come out. And a lot of them, as I said, have to do with schedule, and a lot of them have to do with the cost and the budget, which we're being employed. But we got a bunch better handle on.
What's the follow-up on that? Are we going to get a report on all of the
we'll report,
findings
yeah.
on
yeah.
You that, know, you've, we'll, that you've made in the process?
Yeah. We've got a couple of reports that we're putting together right now, Mr. Slauson. One of them is, and I didn't get the report back from Terry, so I don't want to say too much about it, but we may actually go to an independent auditor. There's a couple of things. We have a bond steering committee that we also report to, and they ask, they want to know, has centralization helped or hurt the program? I mean, have we been more successful? Have we come along further? Have things been happening? So we may go and look at that, at the changes we made. We're also looking at taking the KPMG audit that they do every year. I was just thinking about this yesterday, and actually bringing it up to a higher level. Instead of them digging into change orders, which is nice, you know, you look at 600 change orders and you got me on two, that's unfortunate, you know. But how about if they go back and look at our best practices, what we've done as a program, the differences, the changes that we've made, policy, procedure, staffing, and look at it from a very high level and provide an industry opinion on that. And that's something that I'd like to have. And sir, you may be contacted on this. Were you part of the Blue Ribbon panel initially?
Or?
When the one that,
Rob,
I know Rob was on it. I know Daisy was running it. We had a lot of industry experts. Okay, so you didn't take
that
part
was,
in that one.
That was independent of the...
Well, that was a really good set of findings.
Because it was on that.
Okay. That was a good set of findings, and it provided a good framework for me when I first came aboard. What we'd like to do, and this came about from John Vandenkamp. Are you familiar with that gentleman? We had him do some independent analysis on some of our change orders and our practices.
General.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Attorney General.
Jim, that's privileged material.
What's privileged material?
The report from Mr.
Van. I'm not going to give a report on it. I never read it.
Okay.
I'm just going to say that what...
I'm just cautioning.
Okay. So what we were... I lost where I was going now. But the Chancellor mentioned...
Tell us all the secrets.
Yeah, we're going to actually use him to look at some of the other things as well. And to get an idea, what I'm saying is we're putting resources towards our quality assurance and make sure that we're doing a good job, that are in keeping with the standards. Oh, I know what I'm now. I know what I'm saying. He recommended. He read a lot of the back material when he was doing his research. And he read the Blue Ribbon panels. He said, "Hey, that was a good work product." And I said, "Yeah." And he goes, "Well, now where are you on all those things?" But I said, "To best of my knowledge, we addressed every one of those. You know, the findings. I think there's 17 to 20 findings in there." And have gone through and addressed every one of them. He goes, "Well, I would really like to see another, that group put back together, go back and re-audit where they found all these shortcomings and issues and see how you dealt with them along the way and issue another, if you will, a conclusionary paper on what those, you know, what those things
mm-hmm.
are." So I think it was a great idea. And the Chancellor, you know, thought it was a good idea. So. We may ask those folks to try to get back together, at least some of them as we can, and put that out. I think it'd be a great paper. I mean, I'd like to know how we're doing. I mean, I think we're doing great, but maybe they don't. So, be good. So we're doing a few different things. I guess the answer, sir, that's a long answer to a short question, but we're constantly monitoring our progress and our performance, and you know, I'll just throw these out there because I'm bragging. But we just won. What did we win last week? program of the...
Program of the year.
Yeah.
The construction.
And then we're going to pick up on the 25th, Program Management of the Year award for them. And then I'm picking up the Outstanding Owner or something like that of the year award. So regardless of what we may think, I mean, the industry sees the changes and they're certainly approving of them.
Now, this isn't being by Westside Building Materials.
No, sir. No, sir, it's not. It's a national organization of construction managers that look at the quality of the performance and weigh us against our peers. And it's been pretty positive, so.
I'm sure you're going to give us a copy of the award or
if you'd like
background.
To.
Yeah, I think
one's
this committee
in my desk right now.
See on all of those awards that the district gets.
Yes, sir. Right. Great. Is it in here anymore?
The award?
Well, did we tell them?
Yeah. You mentioned it. But no,
oh, we
we'll
did?
Bring
okay.
the award and the next meeting.
All right. Yeah, that's a nice one. Where's Dan?
Dan is
Now, do I have anything else on the agenda report?
I have a question for you about the parking garage.
Yes, sir.
The last meeting, we were just having this plastic epoxy or whatever it is drying and trying to cure and solve the problem. As I was driving in the parking garage here, I thought, I wonder if that ever worked.
Yeah.
It did.
It did. It's all done. DSA signed off on it. Everybody's happy. So we now have speed bumps that actually are attached to the ground. And we had the appropriate clearances that, and we had to go through two or three different leveling compounds, for lack of better terms, to make it to work. Yeah, to get the testing strength up. So it's good news.
And how are we doing on our joint problem, our structural joint problem?
Would that be at this particular building out here?
The one that we've been working on forever.
Maybe Clausen, that was.
I think no, it's this one here. Yeah, you will get a. Up close and personal.
So we're still working.
Yeah, but it's coming along fairly nicely. I didn't get to the bad news. That's where I'm missing out. Okay, one more good news, and then the bad news. Yeah, I got it. Small contractor boot camp training program Trade Tech. That's going on every Wednesday right now, February 11th, February 25th. We've got another session starting in a month or two in May or June, and it's to bring in, you know, give people opportunities to teach them how to compete with the program. It's the same, Veronica's here, so it's the same thing we did at LUSD, which was nationally recognized. We, you know, got some more Lexon awards for it, but it was a good program. We got a lot of people. We actually helped start companies in a certain sense.
Good.
It's a good thing. Now we go back to my favorite part, which is project challenges. One would be the Holmes Hall renovation. This is another renovation, probably should have been a renovation. At City College, we have a good GC on it. Harper's doing the work. This is unforeseen conditions. We ran into a shear wall that we had to go through the shear wall. We've been working with both DSA, structural engineers, et cetera. We think the impact's gonna be close to $1.5 million, and we've lost over four months. This thing. It's a big concrete shear wall.
But where are we going through it? Just not doorways, I assume.
Penetrations. There's what else?
And there was existing penetrations that we were penetrating. At that point, we had just kind of put too many holes in the build in the wall than we could. So once we uncovered it, we saw we were dealing. Now we have a solution in place that we've submitted to DSA. Yeah. We're waiting for them to.
We're not entirely sure that the original finding that we had would have passed DSA's muster in the first place when we tore into that shear wall, when we got to the shear wall. There's a lot of penetrations and things running through it. So it's something, and the general contractor's been doing, they've been a real partner in this and been very patient. They've been good. We've actually had a lot of cooperation from DSA, even though it's a large impact, it's been a lot of work put into it. And this is one of those ones where we could, it's always a hard question, well, why did you find it before? It's how much destructive testing, how badly, how much money you throw into tearing apart a building.
Was it on plans, right?
No.
Okay.
No, I can see the baseline has greatly been exceeded.
That's City College. It seems like every job's like
but
that.
But good news, Clausen was on there for a long time now. It's off the list.
Okay.
The Trade Tech East parking structure, we talked a little, I think I talked about that already. That was the one where we canceled the construction building, but we want to keep the parking structure building in there. We're doing final negotiations right now to find out what the impact of the severance of the contracts are. It's all in legal hands right now. John's working with Bernard's attorney, Greg Simon, or is Greg Wood? Yeah, and they're getting the bottom of it right now. We're hopefully going to finish up negotiations here any day and get going this summer and finish it up. It really needs to happen. Then you have the Mission College. This is the new media arts building. This is one we keep on there every week. I'm not going to be hearts and rainbows here, but it's getting a little bit of steam. The last meeting went pretty well. The surety's coming around and working a little more cooperatively with us right now. We're getting close to actually starting some real work. And you folks who go on the tour will see that and get a little bit of the background. And then our project team here is going to update you on exactly where we are and kind of where we're headed on it. So you'll be very smart about it by the time we're done. And then we only have three challenge projects on here this week.
Yeah, a lot of them actually came off.
Okay. Good sign. Let's put five on this. It's making good
money here. Okay.
and then the legal update, you have the settled claim reports in your folder. Yeah, where we are now.
Looks like we're settling without paying any money.
We're doing all right.
We like that.
We're doing all right.
Okay. Anything else?
No, sir. I'm trying to keep it moving.
Thank you. Chancellor, any words of wisdom?
None. No words of wisdom. The chancellor is on his way back from San Diego, where he has speaking engagement this morning. We do have an addition to our board. We will have an oath of office for Mr. Mike Plong, who will be taking office on March 25th as the interim board of or trustee. He was elected to the seat vacated by Miguel Santiago, who was elected to the assembly in December and took office. So Mr. Bond will take office March 25th. He's officially, I guess he's already in office, but he'll be sworn in on the 25th. And he'll serve that interim term until June 30th, and then he'll begin serving his regular term on July 1. We've been, you're talking about adding new buildings, and we're talking about adding sections in that those buildings will house. And I know, for example, at Southwest College, we were there, when was it,
January.
Yeah. When we were there, we were actually the first users of that building. And so they've got classes going on in there now, and that was the School of Career Technical Education, fancy name for the building. But at any rate, so as you are seeing new construction come to an end, we are adding classes almost immediately. I know that City College had literally, it was like they were on the edge whether they were going to be able to occupy a building or not. So that's going well in hand. The chancellor has put forth a plan for some reorganization, and we're moving through the channels internally with the personnel commission, and he hopes to have couple of executives on board by July 1. That's probably a bit optimistic, but I'm trying to help him in that regard. And an upcoming event is his investiture on April the 2nd. And I'm going to look to Lydia to see if we've sent.
This should be in the mail now.
Okay.
Yes.
DCOC, we had. If you've not gotten an invitation, you will be receiving the invitation very shortly. But it is scheduled to be held at East Los Angeles College at Ingalls Auditorium, which is their old auditorium, which has been refurbished. It was not torn down. And it's not the Performing Arts Center, but it's the old auditorium, which is still in quite a bit of use. It's scheduled routinely by the members of the community, and so this will be the chancellor, the kind of a formal oath of office for the chancellor that will be taking place that evening, 7 o'clock on April the 2nd, and then after that will be a reception. And then following week is spring break for us, except it's spring break for faculty. Administrators have to work through the day, through the week. So, but things are going well. There's been a lot of discussion with Ms. Fieldseal sits to my right about whether we're going to make our numbers for enrollment. And I keep telling everybody to remind everybody that the state's goal was 2.75 growth, and we are well above that. But we set an internal growth rate of 4.75, which means if the state, if there are colleges within the state that don't reach 2.75 as in the past, we would be eligible for additional funds for next year. And that's basically how we are always looking ahead and trying to grow even more. So, so it's looking very well. And as I was walking across the campus earlier today, I noted that the Aloya looks really, really nice, and it's got all these native plants, and it's really good to see some master plan elements come to fruition, and so that one's very definitely a good plus that I saw come full cycle. I was talking to the chef a few minutes ago. They're going to start their planting next week on Friday. They're going to plant an herb and vegetable garden, and that's part of the culinary arts program. And that was also included in the master plan for Mission College. So nice little tidbits, but unfortunately, the chancellor's not here, so I'm not as eloquent as he.
You're doing marvelously. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Any comments, questions?
And now for the really interesting stuff. in keeping with life responsibilities, we were trying to update your handbook. And because the handbook was out of date with the new format of the District Citizens Oversight Committee. In the course of reviewing that, we also realized that the bylaws didn't necessarily reflect current practices. So I'm going to talk about the bylaws first, which will be an attachment to the, which are an appendix to your handbook. So an attachment B of your materials on pages 3 and 4, you will see some yellow highlighted material. The yellow highlight is just to make it easy for you to spot where the changes are. The language that's been changed is done by what's called redlining, which means it shows the font, it shows the letters overstruck where there are proposed deletions, and it shows it underlined where there are proposed additions. So just to pick the example of on page 3 of C3, you'll see the words no and a small d with a strike through it. That means that's existing language that we're proposing to delete. In the early, in the inception of the building program, now so many years ago, there were some policy concerns and considerations that really don't apply, and how we want people to multitask, I guess is the way to put it. And so we recognize that one of the values that the committee members themselves have identified is the ability to have continuity because of the rather steep learning curve associated with the program. And so this is now, the proposal was to now move from not allowing a dual membership to allowing a dual membership for somebody who is on a college citizens committee but is a regional representative. And so that's why you see the knots and the things crossed out. But essentially, the theory was there were going to be a minimum of 63 Angelinos who were going to serve as volunteers in these committees. A startling number, to be sure. And we had, as you know, difficulty even obtaining those 63 Angelinos, and even at a reduced number, still have trouble with staffing and convening whether it's a quorum of the college citizens committees as well as this committee. So this is one of the efforts, not only the effort that you've initiated to identify the regional representatives as a mechanism of scaling down the size of the committees in order to make them a little bit more strategic and nimble. Then the next one is just to clarify the issue of the removal from membership. And the reason for that is because the removal from membership provision didn't contemplate the regional representatives. And so we needed to be clear about that. So those are the proposed changes to the bylaws. The bylaws are, from a legal standpoint, adopted as an administrative regulation under the authority of the chancellor, approved by the chancellor, but the bylaws of this committee. So when we have a quorum, we'll ask you to approve the changes to those bylaws for purposes of keeping them up with what's going on.
As I understand it, we went through this, the last bylaws change. What we're doing is kind of academic, because it's the board that approves these, and they've been approved, so.
Well, this is a little bit different than the last one. Was a little academic because the board had approved that. These things aren't articulated in the board policy, but they're articulated in the policy set by the chancellor. They're a slightly different issue, but yes, the chancellor could just tell you this is the way it's going to be, but. That isn't necessarily consistent with the way we want to work with a citizens advisory committee.
Totally understand.
Is this going to be submitted to the California Administrative Procedures Act process?
No.
Thank God.
This is a local matter. And, you know, just to share, we were the first, because we were the first bond measure to pass under Prop 39, we were the first ones to create bylaws, so we created what we thought made sense at the time, and it did. And so we've kind of been ahead of the trend on this issue. So are there any other questions about the bylaws? Yeah.
The only thing we need to remember is on next agenda, we have this to vote yes or no on, so we should send it out again to people, because I don't really want to necessarily discuss it again, but
right. Just
get people to... I mean, it's pretty simple stuff, but get it on the agenda so we can vote for it.
Yeah, so I had a couple of questions. As probably the newest person on this committee and the least familiar with sort of the jargon of this group, a couple of clarifications, if that would be appropriate. So in 1A1, where it says three regional members selected from the College Citizens Committees, I'm not sure I understand who those three regional members are when it comes to the DCOC membership. Are those referred to as college representatives?
Yes.
Yes.
They are. We at one time had a representative from every college.
Okay.
And this board was much bigger. Yeah. We had a much more difficult time getting a quorum. And so the decision was made and it was passed by the board that there would be nine colleges would be divided into three regions, geographically, basically, and each region would elect one representative and they would come to these meetings.
So is the appropriate way to refer to those members as the college representative or as the regional member?
We kind of call them both.
I think they're supposed to be the voice of the college citizens committees.
Yeah.
And so that's one of the reasons why we could do that.
I just found it a little confusing. So
I think your point's well taken. I guess for me it was to reinforce the idea that it was still the voice of the college citizens committees.
So. I've always thought of them as the college representative, no matter where they came from.
Right, and again, my ignorance is essentially complete. So you all have a history that I don't have. So thank you for filling in my blanks here. So in 1A2, and I think the answer to my question is obvious, but it's not necessarily so from the document where it says seven additional members appointed by the board. I assume that's the LACCD Board of Trustees?
Yes.
Okay.
The board with a capital B around here always means the Board of Trustees.
Is this document part of a larger document?
This This document is an administrative regulation, C7. Okay. The LA Community College District is governed by federal and state law.
Yeah.
And then locally we have board rules, which are sort of the legal equivalent of a municipal code.
Okay.
All right, so it'd be, if the city council, if the city of Los Angeles city council adopted something, it would be a municipal ordinance.
Mm-hmm.
Our board rules are policies adopted by the board. The administrative regulations are policies adopted by the chancellor. And
okay.
So the structure is that the chancellor issues administrative regulations, essentially because the board is and should be at a higher, broader policy level than the administration. And so, but the chancellors in succession have a set of administrative regulations, and they govern everything you can imagine, from, you know, how to appeal your financial aid determination to, you know, whether you can get, whether you, who's on the Human Resources Council.
Yeah, operational nuts and bolts.
Yeah.
Okay, so again, it was just a point of confusion, mostly out of ignorance.
Yeah, no, and board committee means this committee, and board means board of trustees.
Yeah.
We pretty much always call ourselves the DCOC.
Right.
And we talk about the board, that means the people down on Wilshire.
And again, one more completely trivial, since I now, having listened to you talk, know the answer to my own question. But in C1, where they refer to CCCs, I now know that CCCs are in fact college citizens committees.
Right.
But again, it's not necessarily stated in the document. So.
I thought we had it vetted as a defined term somewhere.
The same paragraph.
I think you're right. I think I haven't actually, because B goes on at length about college citizens committee, I don't think I included a parenthetical definition of that term.
You did for DCOC, which was very helpful, but I didn't see one for CCC. So
we can do that. That's a non-substantive change. It's no problem.
Okay. Thank you for the clarifications. Those were my only questions.
Okay. If I may, then I'll move on to the handbook. The handbook was adopted by the body in the wake of the findings by the State Comptroller's Office regarding the operations of the District Citizens Oversight Committee, and. The purpose of this handbook, this particular revision, is to try to update it consistent with current practices. And you'll note that I anticipated the bylaws being approved, and so we will, once the bylaws get signed off, we'll insert them in order to finalize and publish the handbook. The handbook reads largely the same as it has in the past, with the exception of describing the committee slightly differently because of the committee's difference in the makeup. And then all the other changes that were made is in the broad description of the building program management. But this is really supposed to provide the most rudimentary introduction to the DCOC for a newbie. And then to have the established conflicts of interest policy using the checklist mechanism in Appendix 1, and then also to provide the resources to the committee of the Education Code section provisions, the board policies on the committee, and the project list, because one of the charges of the committee is to make sure that the money is being spent in accordance with the project list. It occurred to me that in the course of preparing the handbook the first time, maybe everybody didn't have a copy of the project list. So, of course, once it's published, it gets uploaded to the website, so you don't have to carry it around or find it. You can click on it, and there it is. We've included all three of the project lists in the final appendix.
It would be a good attachment to this, would be a comparison of the original project list with what has been completed or still is on the project list for each one of them, because I know they've changed from what they were originally.
I guess I think that the it's dashboard report, is that the right term? The dashboard, I think the dashboard report is a better indicator of that because it's updated monthly, and so, and it's posted online. The handbook, we hope to update only once a year or every 2 years or something like that. So I would recommend that we simply use the dashboard report for purposes of tracking that. Or,
and if you want to get more specific, like kind of at a one time, we just performed way back to current what actually was done and looked at and actually decided some of the reasons. In some cases, people said we don't need that kind of thing anymore.
Right.
So we have that report, which might be very helpful.
I'm sure it would be good.
It is a good one.
That was one of the big comments. Yeah. 5 years ago when we were getting audited by everybody under the sun is that we weren't following the project lists that had been submitted. And I read the project lists and they covered almost anything you could possibly ever think of. We could probably build.
They were drafted that way on the advice of bond counsel with that in mind.
I would think so. We could probably build a single family house in the middle of a campus and still qualify.
Comment was targeted at being knowledgeable of what we've actually built to compare with this, not because we know that, first of all, this committee doesn't have the oversight to tell anyone what they're going to build or not build, as long as it's within the guidelines that were originally part of the program. But I would like to see that. That may.
It was pretty. We were surprised. I think we were surprised by the percentage. And I think we altered that percentage a little more time. But it was higher than I thought. And what we had actually completed, I thought we were going to be around 50-60% or something. And it was much, much higher than that. So
we can bring this when, again, we don't have a form anyway. We can bring it back with the proposed report that gives the snapshot to date as appendix whatever.
Great.
Six, I guess, and then it'll just be an as of date, and
right.
So because as people join the committee, they really it takes a little time to figure out how the whole thing works. Okay. Anyway, so those are
okay. We don't need to we don't need to do anything about the handbook. We just need to agree to the changes to the bylaws.
The committee has previously adopted the handbook, so I would assume that you would want to
adopt it again.
The
okay.
Subsequent handbook and part of putting in your minutes that you're, you know, doing your due diligence as an oversight committee. So including the self-reflection and changing your governing documents and that sort of stuff. So
okay.
I do expect both of those will come back.
Okay, so let's make sure that that's on the agenda. We are at old business, new business, comments, questions.
Would you like a presentation on OSIP, or you can ask, I mean, if you want to, depending upon how much time you want. Oh,
not really noticed.
Oh.
Yeah, also, I've lived OSIP in my life, and it could be one of the most boring subjects of world.
Not only is it the most boring, it's the most difficult, because it causes questions that could go on for hours and hours.
If somebody has an incredible need to know about it, we can address it at
what's OSIP?
It's an insurance.
What do the letters stand for? That's all I need to know.
Yeah, it's an owner controlled insurance program.
Okay.
So on large programs such as this,
seriously. You said insurance. That's it.
Yeah. For those people who actually read their homeowners policies, it's thrilling. Okay. I think we are ready to adjourn and go on a campus tour, and I urge everybody to actually do that so we know what it is we're spending money on.
This campus has some really beautiful buildings, too, and they've done a really nice job with a lot of design.